Right, so today is Friday the 2nd of September. My name is Karen Warren. I'm a volunteer with the Little Ouse Headwaters Project, and today I'm talking with Rowley Farr at his house in Garblesham. So thank you, Rowley, for agreeing to take part in it. Perhaps you could start off by telling me where you were born, what village, what house.
The same house I'm living in, yes, 39 Mill Pond Cottage, Garblesham. I was born here, I never lived anywhere else.
That's amazing.
Yes.
So, what did your family do in this area for you to come to be born here? What did your father do?
Well, my father in the early days, he worked on farms, but then he actually went to work for Norfolk Highways Department. Mm. And he worked for them. He was a lengthman and a foreman, and he used to bike, had to bike miles to work at that time of day. I know they would work even at Carbrook, which is the other side of Wight.
Mm, long way to go
and
on his bike. And
cycle all the way. And yes, he worked them till he retired at 65.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't take his place as foreman, but I went on the highways in his place because I used to go with him during the right away from my early days of work. Weather was bad, I used to come off where I was at work and go on the highways with him.
Mm.
And then, of course, when he retired, they say, "What about your son? Would he come join us?" Which I did. And of course, I started off as a village lengthman, but I worked my way right up to the top as an area superintendent.
Gosh, so what does a village lengthman do?
A village lengthman used to do everything in the village, actually. There was a lengthman in nearly every village of any size. And you used to, winter time starting in the autumn, you would clear all the grips, gullies we used to call them, what to let the water off the road.
Mm-hmm.
You used to clean all your gully grates out, and springtime you used to mow the corners for visibility and trim the hedges if they was on the corner, and do a trimming, and then you would go into a gang tar patching. You would have a 50-gallon big copper that you used to heat up, and there used to be about 3-4 of you, and you roll barrels of tar up on the top of them and gradually let that run in, heat up, and patch these roads with chipping. So you used to go around all the villages, actually, but about 4 lengthmen used to combine up and used to have one ganger, which they made me ganger of that, and wasn't very old either, but that was what happened. And but you used to do everything, you see, in the village. And
so when was
skirt
that,
the roads
roughly?
Out.
Year-wise, when would that have been?
Well, in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I started in 1950, permanently,
mm-hmm.
and until later, when I was made an inspector, actually, when I went first went on the staff, because prior to that I'd worked my way up as a ganger, and I went as a tradesman, curb land, bridge building and drainage and paving and doing all that type of thing. But then they applied for an inspector, and I applied and got it, and I looked after the Attleborough area, which included all this area around here. And then in 72, in reorganisation, when we took Thetford on, they want someone to take the Thetford over and the surrounding area, which I did. I took Thetford over, which I'd done an area which stretched out to Wheating, Cranage, Munford, right up to Bodney with a battle area, nearly out to Wharton, and stretching right out to Banham and Lopham's and all that area with Thetford, and that was what I was responsible for.
Mm. So how old were you when you first started work then, Rowley?
When I first started?
When you first started, right at the beginning?
14.
Were you?
At school at 14.
Right. And did you say that you worked on farms
first? I worked
first?
On farms then. We used to work.
Tell me something
winter time,
about that.
We used to do 48-hour week, and summertime we used to do a 50-hour week. That includes Saturday mornings, you see, till 12 o'clock. And to do a 50-hour week, summertime, and 48-hour week. And when I started, I got 10 shillings a week for them 50 hours. When I was 14, when I was 15, I got 11 and tuppence halfpenny. And when I was 16, I got 14 and elevenpence.
Amazing memory for that. Week. So when was that?
That was 1937 I started work, 1937. Yeah, 1937 I started, yes. And
what about the rest of your family?
I was on horses. I used horses, ploughing. Uh-huh. Ploughing the horses and Aaron doing everything with horses, yeah.
How many of you worked on the farm?
I worked on Ling Farm here, and there were 30 men on that farm at the time with horses, cattle, sheep, pigs, everything. And there was four of us ploughing nearly all the winter. And then when the sugar beet was off, there'd be six ploughs gone, ploughing the land.
So who owned the farm at
Laurie,
that time?
Mr. John Laurie. Mm-hmm. Scotchman he was, a great farmer really, but that was a big farm, but unfortunately I was taken ill when I was 16, 17, and I had a bone disease and I was very ill, so I had to leave, and about a year and a half I was away, and my father said, I don't think you ought to go back on that heavy land. That was good land, heavy land, wet, rather wet that time of day, and I went to work down at Lambert's, actually on light land, until I went on the highways.
Mm-hmm. So how long were you at Lambert's?
I was there about 9 years, I believe. Mm-hmm. Once I got better, I had to go, during the war, I had to go to London Hospital. They couldn't get me right, not Norwich. And I went there and I was there 6 weeks and come home as right as Ryan, under world specialist.
Right.
Put me right.
Good for you.
But I stood 6 foot three and I weighed 7 stones, so about a skeleton.
So what did you do at Lambert's then?
Horses
again?
Yeah. Well, I loved horses, yeah.
And which farm was that? Which land
that
did that cover?
The street farm, actually, and run right up to the heath where they've got a lot of, they're now doing the old heathland there, that's took over by a similar to this sort of thing. They don't plough that all up now because that used to be nothing but bracken and shrubs and things like that. They never did crop that because during the war, after the war, that was ploughed up when they, you see, Garb Aldersham was an estate and all owned by one person, nearly the whole of Garble, except Laurie's farm, that didn't, because he'd already bought that.
Right, who owned it then?
The Montgomerys. Mm-hmm. Molyneux Montgomery. And unfortunately, he got killed in the First World War, but his wife lived in the old hall down here, and they kept the estate until 1945, I think. It came up for auction, they got sold it, and the whole estate made 48,000.
Goodness.
And that was bought by a Brigadier General painter. He bought that and he brought saw benches in and he sawed all, because there was great timber, lovely woods there, what was for shooting, you know, before the war. I kept them for shooting. And because they cut all the hardwood down, and they reckon he made enough money out of the timber from them woods to buy the whole estate.
So this is Garb Aldersham?
Yeah, Garb Aldersham, yeah. But then they offered the houses to the individual people, the farms, and the farmers eventually bought their farms and the houses, a lot of houses, and that's what happened.
Is that how Lambert's came to own their farm then?
Yes. I say they come own theirs. They bought that after time. They didn't, at the time when I worked there, it wasn't, because it wasn't sold a lot. They hadn't bought it, but they bought it eventually. Yeah. And the forestry have taken over where the woods were. what were left of them, a lot of the woods were pulled right out and cropped, you know, and that's how they took them. And but they're up in the on the what they call the heathland at Galshamere, it stretched both sides of this 1866 main road. The left hand side, as I said, was Lambert's, so that was all bracken and shrubs and things like that.
Is that this side of the crossroads?
No.
The other side of the crossroads.
Beyond, as you go, where that joined Gassort, actually, where that joined Gassort. Mm-hmm. And the other side, it went right through to Harling Five Crossways. That did, and that was there was nothing grown ever grown on that. That wasn't ploughed up during the war or nothing then. That was all shrubs and bracken and for shooting and things, you see. And
so it was kept pulled. Like that deliberately, was it, by the owners for shooting?
Yeah. Well, they didn't. There was a lot of old land like that left before the war, weren't there? There was a lot. Mm. Wasn't ploughed and nothing, but that never did, because there was a rifle range up here on the heath.
Oh, right.
And it went up to 600 yards, rifle shooting, but actually 600 yards, you shoot across the road, because you wouldn't know, but they did. And the army used that quite a lot during the war here, and training on there. I've shot no end on there, because I was in the Home Guard. I joined the Home Guard once I was well, and I was sergeant in that. I'd shot no end. We threw hand grenades. We trained with the army on that on that ground.
So what did your duties in the Home Guard involve?
Well, we had during the spell of the crisis was on, when they thought the invasion was on, there was like a sergeant, an NCO and two men. We slept in the village hall at night for beyond call. But what good that done, I don't know. But that we did, and we took turn of duties, you know, but but we used to train really hard. Spigot mortars and things like that. We and hand grenades. We trained. Yeah. Well, we used to have an army train a bit with us. Yes, that was quite good, really. I mean, some was old men and some of the young ones before they'd gone in and joined. It was quite good.
So roughly, how many were there in your platoon?
Oh,
then?
I should think there was 40 in Garblesham,
And was it just Garblesham men, or did it cover an area?
Yeah, each village had their own. Riddlesworth had one, Blow Norton had one, and Lottons, they all had their own groups, you know. Yeah. Yes, they were, but they, as I said, you used to train and go on like weekend courses with the army, and so I mean you could have put up a show, I think.
Yes. So whereabouts did you go away for the weekend training? Did they have to go very far?
We went to Snetterton, where the RAF were, not the RAF, American Air Force was. Mm-hmm. We had a weekend there, and but we used to go, we spent a lot of time on Thetford Rifle Range. I spent no end on time on there training with the platoon, you know. You used to take a platoon. And
did you have uniforms?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you had a uniform. Rifle, I had my rifle and ammunition and everything, bayonet with them. Yeah, with gas masks, you had everything.
Yes.
Eventually we did. We didn't for a start, but they increased, so we were quite equipped, really.
Mm.
We had a Tommy gun in the Sten guns.
How regularly did you meet?
Every week.
Every week.
Every Sunday you had a train, yeah.
And who was in charge of you, can you remember?
Stanley Nunn. He was a man who had the garage. He was the officer. He was a lieutenant. Yeah. And different ones. See, there was an observer corps in this village as well.
Was there?
That was up on the heath.
Mm.
eventually moved up here, just up the road here, that where it finished up. But during the war, it was on the heath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was continually manned by men. There was four, what was full time on it, and then the other men, there were several joined it, and they were, as I said, that was manned all the time, these observer corps.
Mm. So what other family names, can you remember families that were in the area then?
Oh, there was Nuns, Shores, Frost, Hogs, Shores, Backlog, Far, my family, there was quite several of them. Barnes, several of them. Reeve, Lorries, I said there was Lorries, there was Bakers, there was different families of Bakers, several sons of them. Ruse,
are some of those families still around today?
Not many of them. No, not many. There's not many of the old village people left now.
No.
Not really. I would think, because my wife was a village girl. I think we're the oldest couple
mm-hmm.
of the village, still of the village, that married. We're still mm-hmm. the old village people,
right.
And there's not many. I shouldn't think there's 20 left now.
Really?
Not the old village people.
Right. And what was your wife's maiden surname?
Hogg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, she lived up Ling. Her father worked on Lorries Farm. Yeah. Yeah, there was a family. There was three girls of them. Two of them are still alive. My wife. She's,
mm-hmm.
My wife is now in the 90th year. And I'm in the 88.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Amazing. And were you married at Garbaldisham?
Yeah. No. No, we married at Watton, actually.
Mm-hmm.
At Register, yes. Yes. At,
we got, and when was that? Do you mind me asking?
1951.
Mm-hmm.
1951, yeah. Yeah.
Did you have any
That's
brothers?
That's a diamond wedding this year.
Yes, so it is. Yes, yes.
In November.
Wonderful. Congratulations on being married so long.
Yes. Yes, I said, I think we're the oldest couple in the village now. Especially the village people. And I said, as I said, all my mates are gone.
Mm.
Right. Yeah. I played football and cricket. Really, I played cricket before the war up here,
mm-hmm.
and then after war I played quite a lot. I opened a bowling for them for quite
Did
a
you?
Time. Yeah.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
I had a brother, and unfortunately he died in the RAF. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, but that was before the war. He died
was
in,
it?
Down in Chatham Naval Hospital. He was stationed in Kent.
Mm.
He's only 22. Yeah. Mm. Yes, that's all. And I lost my mother in 48. She wasn't very old. She was only 59. My father died in 63. Yeah.
And how did your mum spend her time? You said what your dad did for work. What did
Well, nothing, just housekeeper.
Women of
there
that
wasn't
time,
many women really went out to work that time
no.
of day, you know. They
no.
kept looked after houses. That was all, yeah. really. There was not many. Once I was married, I generally, the single girls.
Do you know what your mum did before she married?
What, my mother?
Yeah.
She was at service.
Was she?
Yeah. I know she worked at Thalnatham Rectory.
Did she?
Yeah. But she also worked at Cloy up in North Norfolk.
Mm-hmm.
Various, yeah, they worked in these houses. They went. Well, she was coming to family of 10, my mother did.
Did she?
She died when she was 59, and there was another one of her family died and they were all in the 80s and 90s, her family.
Wow, that's
and
good.
My father's mother nearly made the 100. She was 99 9 months.
Was she?
Yeah, my father's mother.
My word.
And she died at Thetford in the old home there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She fell and broke her hip.
Oh, dear.
Yes, but she'd have made it to the 100.
Can you remember her maiden surname? Can you get back that far?
Her maiden surname, she was a Smith.
Was she?
Yeah. Oh, there are Smiths in Garvisham. Yes, a lot of Smiths. Yeah, she was a Smith, and then she married Farr, and there were four boys. And
did they all work on farms?
No. One was a postman, one was a gardener at the hall. My father, as I said, he was highway, worked on the highways. And the other one died rather young. He's the oldest one.
So these are your father's brothers, are they,
yes,
you're talking about?
My father's brothers, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And what was your mother's maiden surname?
Frost.
Frost.
Yeah, lived in the Dial House, born in the Dial House in Garlsham.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the old Dial House. Yeah, she there was ten children there.
Ten of them?
Yeah.
My word.
Yeah, big family. Yeah, they were spread all over the country. They're all gone now, you see.
Mm. Were they mainly in service?
Yes, the girls. Well, some of the men done various jobs, and they were spread all over the country, really. Mm. Yeah, one was a butcher, had one butcher's business, one of them, the oldest one. And then he had his brother work with him. One was a tradesman, carpenter, decorator, and things like that. They were various jobs like that.
Can I just take you back to your own childhood? What sort of memories of school do you have?
Well, we used to walk to school. There was about 72 children at Garlsham School then. We used to start at 5 and leave at 14. And there were 3 teachers. There was Mr. and Mrs. Stafford, who lived in the schoolhouse. And there was Miss Wiley. She used to bike from this every day. Mm-hmm. Used to bike past here and home. And she was a lovely teacher, really. Until she retired, not in my time, she hadn't retired in my time, but she eventually retired from here and went teaching at this. And I think she lived till just a few years ago. She did, quite old, really, but she was a lovely teacher. But Mr. and Mrs. Stafford were the teachers.
So when would you have been at school? The 20s, are we talking about?
I started in, I was born in 23, and I started in 1928.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and left when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have been 37.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
right. So you just went to one school?
That's all,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Can you remember the curriculum at all? What sort of things did you learn while you were there?
Well, yes, we had the rector. He used to come quite a bit because that was a church school.
Mm.
And he used to come there quite a bit and have services. But he used to read reading, writing. I mean, I learnt writing and arithmetic. That was mainly, but gardening. We had a big garden there, and the boys spent a lot of time out in the garden. They had a very big garden here. Our old schoolmaster, we used to pickle onions for him, and he used to take and sell and things like that. He was,
You said you boys went out. Did the girls do gardening, or did the girls do something else?
No, they didn't do gardening. They used to learn cooking. They used to have cooking classes at school. They used to have that in what they called the reading room, which was a village hall at the time. Every year, they used to come cooking and blow a note, and school used to come there as well. They used to have, I don't know, they used to have a week or a fortnight of that every year, cooking. Mm. Things I used to learn them, but
did you come home for lunch or did you have your meals at school?
No, not in
the
early
well?
Days. No, you used to have to take a packed lunch. You weren't no. Yeah, you took your dinner with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Later on, when I was older, I sometimes used to cycle home.
Mm.
Yeah. and have my dinner. Because you used to have an hour and a half of dinner. Mm-hmm. During that time, when we was at school, we used to walk, especially when the chestnuts were fit, because the woods up the heath there were full of chestnuts, lovely chestnuts. We used to go up there and load ourselves up with chestnuts as boys and then throw them all over the playground for the other boy, children to pick up. Yeah, used to. They're lovely chestnuts. That's full of them, but because a lot of those cut down, there's still a lot up there though now.
Are there?
Yeah, mm-hmm. In them woods, yeah. That was your life. I mean, you played your various sports. I mean, boys used to have tops. I played spinning tops on this road. I don't know what you know what I mean. You used to have a whip.
Yes, I do. A whip and top. Mm-hmm.
Down this road, I used to play on this main road like that, and run a hoops. These old hoops, you know, mm-hmm. You run a hoop. Hopscotch, that used to be a big thing at school. I used to always play a lot of play. I used to play hopscotch. These squares where you have a little bit of tile and kick the one in the squares. But, I think children, because you boys used to go, what they call jump in the ditches, where you dare to jump, see if you jump over these high ditches, climb the trees. There was plenty to do. Mm-hmm. I think children found their own activities in that time mm-hmm. of day. And plenty of life. And I mean, we played football, as I said, cricket. We played cricket. We played that at school, you see. Mm. Of course, we was fortunate here because where the school was, there was a big meadow that was went with Lambert's and went with that farm, but they used to allow the children to use that great meadow, so we used to play football and cricket on there. Yeah.
So how long was the school day?
You start at 9 and leave off at 3:45. Mm-hmm. Yeah. An hour and a half of dinner we used to have. Mm-hmm. That was a long while, really.
Mm. You said you used to take your own packed lunch. What did people have in their packed lunches in those days?
Mostly cheese, weren't it? Cheese sandwiches or various sandwiches and the cakes. Mm-hmm. When my mother used to bake cakes, didn't you? Rock cakes and short cakes and buns. Oh yeah, you used to pack that up. Never had it in tins, in packets. We used to have it then, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did your father used to grow all his own vegetables?
Yes, oh yes. Yes, like me, I still do.
Do you still? That was just going to be my next question. Do you grow your own things?
I grow the biggest potato this year I ever grown, I think. I got one as long as that.
My goodness.
Never seen anything like them. Yeah, I always done nothing near so much as I have now, because we got a lot of flowers and lawn now.
Mm, but beautiful garden.
You used to crop it all.
So yeah. How come you're growing a 9-inch potato?
I don't know.
Then?
That's the biggest I've ever grown.
It's been a lot of rain, hasn't there, early this year?
Yeah, and I mucked my garden well. The farmer, he brought me some muck and mm-hmm. gave me some muck, and I mucked that well. And my son, I've got my daughter living next door, luckily. That's daughter live there, and I'm doing, because my son-in-law, he retired this year, and he's doing his garden now, where I used to do it. Uh-huh. He's doing it now, and cropping and enjoying it.
So you used to walk to school. What sort of, and you said the teacher used to cycle from Diss, or one of the teachers did.
Yeah.
What sort of vehicles were there around when you were
younger? Well, there were cars. There were cars, but not many. I mean, you didn't have many. Not really. There wasn't much traffic on this road, really.
No.
Of course, you see, it used to wind round this old road until it didn't straighten and do this piece. We done the bypass in Garbushman in 63. And then I done this stretch here where we cut those winding bits out down here in 68. Mm-hmm. I done that. Yeah. We filled. Had to fill a pond up here when we done this crossroads. There was two ponds. There was one over the other side of the road, and there was this big one here. Mm. But that belonged to us, that pond.
And right.
Yeah, we bought that. Yeah, and the wood.
So was the shop there?
Yes.
You mentioned the post office earlier.
And Mr. Whitten used to keep the shop.
Mm-hmm. And it was in the same place as it is now?
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm.
Was that the only shop in the village when you were
No,
younger?
there was another little, what, more of a sweet shop. Mrs. Chapman used to keep that, and then a Mrs. Cook.
Where was that?
Just up the Harlings, where the Fox Public House is, just beyond that is a thatched cottage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in this end of that, just a shop. You had a big hut sort of place in there, and that was a shop. Yeah, more of a sweet shop, but they used to sell other things, but there was that. There were three carpenter shops in the village, and two garages.
When would this have been? What period are we talking about?
The garages was here till... I should think... The old garages, there was the Nuns' Garage, which is now Chapel Close. There was Nuns' Garage there, that's where my brother done his training before he went in RAF. And the other one was down the Harling Road, and there's still a garage of a type down there now, just past where the old hall was on the right.
Mm-hmm.
That was a garage there. But there is still a bit of a garage, I think, now down there, although developed different. But the Nuns was into that was put into a Chapel Close. They built houses in that now. That used to be our headquarters behind the garage for the Home Guard, where we used to keep all the grenades and ammunition and things like that.
Was that on the garage premises?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because he was the lieutenant in charge,
yes.
You see, and that was his, Mr. Nunn.
What did you all do for meat and bread?
There was a butcher shop. Yeah, there was a butcher shop down here.
Mm.
Then there was till around about the 1960, I should think. There was still a butcher shop down here. It was closed now, but that was just on this road down here. Yeah.
And was there a bakery, or did people...
Bakers, there was bakers, yes. That was where the shop is, just the south side, Hopton side of that, was next to that. That was a bake shop. That was going till, I think, the 60s, 70s, really. That was still a baker's.
Mm.
That was, yeah. But, different, I remember Mr. Puddick was our time of day, and then, I forget the names of the other ones, but there was about two more after that, before that closed.
Mm. So you mentioned about people making their own entertainment, particularly the children. Were there village events? Were there celebratory events that you can remember, or annual things that happened in the village?
Well, we used to have a sports here. I think the Ancient Order of Foresters, they used to have a yearly sort of sports day. They used to have it on that meadow, the church meadow, we used to call it.
Mm-hmm. When was that?
That was run till about, I should think, about the... just before the war. I don't remember that happening during the war, till just before the war that finished. And of course we had, I remember the coronation of, that would be the coronation of King George VI and his wife, when we had that. I remember the Jubilee of King George V.
What
a big celebration we had for that. On the church meadow, they had firework displays and all sorts on there, and sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when that was, because Major Denny, who lived in the manor, he was very fond of fireworks and that, and we had a big firework display, remember that? Very big for that time of day.
Yes,
But,
And was it a similar kind of thing that they had for the coronation of George VI?
Coronation... I forget now. We had one in the... we had one of King George VI and his wife we celebrated in the manor at Garves, which is now gone. Mm. That was, we had the hall, the old hall, which is now is gone. That was unfortunately burnt down. And the manor was the same, burnt and pulled down, lovely built.
Shame.
But the old hall was Montgomery's. Then there was a man called came in there after Montgomery's left, and he was a man named Woodall. And then there was Sir Lancelot Hugh Smith, came there. He was a big noise in London. He was to deal with the Baring Banks because he had relations with the Barings who lived there as well in the old hall.
Right.
And then when they went, Borthwick's came there, the big meat exporting people from New Zealand, Thomas Borthwick, lamb. You know, they keep the sheep in New Zealand. They got a big New Zealand lamb people. They were there for a few years until they went away, and then a Dr. McCurdy bought it and made it into flats. And then, because they got a fire, unfortunately.
Oh dear.
And that had to be pulled down. And the whole manor was, that was about 1940. Eight, I think, when Major Denny died, and then that was a club for a time. That was a school. They made it into a school for a time, and then I can also remember some Jews came there and hired it for a little while, because I know they used to come to the farm and bless the milk every day. At Lambert's.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. And then it was a club.
Did people buy their milk from the farms then?
Yes, yeah, you used to buy it from the farms then. Mm. We used to get ours from this farm here. That farm then, yeah. You would buy milk like that.
Mm.
Yeah. And then, as I said, that was a club, and unfortunately that flew a fire, I think. Unfortunately, I think there's a bit of mysteries about it. But that was burnt down and pulled down, unfortunately. Mm. But you miss those big houses, you know, in the village.
Yes, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Because, yes. I mean, that had the manor had a park, a great park of about 20 or 30 acres with a wood all the way around it, nearly all the way around it. Lovely. And the gardens was lovely, wall gardens. And a great orchard, and a great avenue of walnut trees. Us boys used to go and pinch them. You'd get run off with the old man who looked after the gardens. But yeah, lovely places.
So what sort of changes have you seen to the land and farming in the area?
Well, it's modernised, isn't it? I mean, when you think... I mean, when they used to do sugar beet in my early days, you see, they were lifted by horses, and you had a lifter that used to go along like plough mount. It wasn't a plough as such, but it was a skeleton sort of thing that lifted the beet, and then the men pulled them by hand, laid them at rows, and then topped them and laid them at rows. And the men used to have to fill them into the tumbles to cart off by hand. They didn't just touch them with a fork then cart them onto a heap and then cart away with lorries.
Mm.
But then, of course, and all the beet was hauled by hand, and you used to get all the cornfields was drilled, you see, and then they were hauled by horse. Even the corn, you used to have a horse hole with that, with little holes about so wide between the rows, and then a whole gang, like you'd have a gang of men here, they would go along cutting the thistles down with a little tool you have, they call a spud. You'd cut the thistles and dig the docks out, and then you had a bag round you had to a bag, a sack with a turned inside out on a string round. You used to have to put the docks in and carry them off. And also a big stone. If you come across a big stone, I expect you to take that off. But, lift.
Was this before the war or
yes,
after?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm talking about 1937, 38, 39. And, yeah.
And what crops? What were the corn crops
I grew,
then?
They used to work in a rotation of, they used to go beet, wheat, barley and hay. Most of the farms done that, rotation, 4-year rotation, really. Because they used to grow hay for the horses and cattle, you see. So you used to have fields of hay. I do remember the old, what they call a siler going. I see one of them going down the road here once when they used to cut what they call sandfoin. That was a flared hay type of hay.
Yes.
And they used to cut that with a what they call a siler, which used to spin round and sweep the stuff off the. I used to go right up in there and then come down and sweep that off the bed to into sort of rolls the thing. But I, that was when I was a boy. I never used one, but when I was a boy I saw one at work. And of course you used to have what I call for when after the harvest come, I used to have what I call a gyrotiller come to do these fields then, to break them up. That was a great machine with two machines turned at the backs. They used to work all night. There used to be a gang of men when they used to have an old hut they used to live in. Mm-hmm. And these things turn. They used to have great iron shears where they broke the land. They used to break it up about that deep.
Gosh.
And churn them up. See them a-going, and because I know when I was a boy, they used to throw those shears when they were worn up on the borders, on the banks and that, and I used to go around and gather them up and we'd sell them scrap iron.
Very enterprising.
Yeah, you didn't get much for it, but very little. Penny was a lot then.
So how have the fields and hedgerows changed during your lifetime?
Well, I mean, all these fields you see now, I mean, here, this farm, for instance, I know of 5 fields. 5 fields all put in at one. So there's where they were 10 acres and 17 acres and things like that. They're put in, so they're about 60, 70 acres in one, and another 60, 70 acres in another, and the same there. And 'cause all them fields had names, you know.
Did they?
Yeah. And I have actually, the parish councillor got a map of the old village, of the village, with all those fields on before they were as they were, with the hedgerows and ditches, see there's a ditch and a hedge around all these fields.
Yes.
And I have written a name on them, on a lot of them. Of
very
what I knew. I knew them all here and all Lamberts and that. I've written the names on, so they have got them, actually. Mm.
So what sort of hedgerows were they? What was growing in
all
the hedgerows?
Sorts, but mostly a lot of the hedges. There were some hedges. They used to keep the hedges round the meadows. But round the fields, a lot of the hedges cut off, but they had the ditches, you see, and they used to, the men used to have to cut, trim them out, to trim the ditches and banks and that every year. They were cut, and they used to use them. They used to put the trimmings in heaps. And they used to cart them, and they used to put them down to later to build the corn stacks on, or straw stacks on.
What do you mean by the trimmings?
What you cut, grass, and you know, if there was any bits of hedging and things like that, you used to heap that up, and then you used to go around and cart that off, and you cut. Of course, I mean, the grass get up here as well as that. You see, you had to mow it and trim it with trim the ditches out with hooks. And then they used to heap it up and cart, and they used to call that flashings, and they used to have that for stack bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
You see, put the corn, stack of corn on it, or and then the straw on stack bottoms.
What sort of wildlife was in the hedges around the meadows?
Oh, rabbits. I mean, there was rabbits everywhere. We were always glad of them during the war. They were a godsend to us, rabbits were.
Yes.
Yeah, rabbits and hares. There was hares. There weren't so many hares, but there's a lot, mind you. But rabbits, there was rabbits everywhere.
Mm. Yeah. You mentioned about the chestnuts. Were there nuts and fruit in the hedgerows then?
Not much in hedgerows. Some fields on Lambert's farm, there were some fruit trees, there was pear trees. There was one they call Pear Tree Farm field. Mm. Some, yeah. Mm. But not many.
No.
No. Nuts. You used to get nut bushes, and you look around the meadows, you used to get these nut bushes, you used to go garden the hazelnuts, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can you remember what birds there were around in those days?
Much the same as is now. Mm. Of course, there was a lot more English partridges. There used to be no end of them. Coveys. We used to call them coveys, covey partridges. But now you see there's these, what they call the red-legged French partridges. There's several of them, and they breed them for shooting now, don't they?
Mm.
Pheasants, you see, pheasants. There's plenty of pheasants in all the fields, in the beet and things they used to shoot. But Denny used to shoot all the hire all the village for shooting. They used to have big shoots.
So did you go and kill your own rabbits, or did your dad? Or did you have to buy them?
I used to catch them or shoot them. I used a gun, I used to shoot a rabbit. Mm. Yeah. I used a gun when I was about 16. Yeah.
And could you kill a partridge like that as well?
Well, you weren't supposed to shoot them game, but we did. Of course we did. Yeah, we got the chance. But rabbits was a godsend for me during the war. Lovely.
What do you remember about this side, the river and the fen sort of area?
Well, the fen, I remember the old common, what you know got, what this headwater product got, I remember that was all gorse and a lot of gorse bushes on
which
there.
Common are we talking about?
Where they've got now down here,
where the little piece of water course
run through.
Mm.
And I mean, that was all rough gorse, but of course they did have that as a football pitch, no doubt they got all that down, no doubt. But I do remember they had a lovely football pitch up there at one time on the far end, and now they got it all this end.
Mm.
But there's the water course run through, and of course that will flood at times. I mean, there's a lot of water at times go through there. And it comes from right up here at Lopham. That started Lopham, really, and run through a water course right round. And there's a little water culvert under that main Hopton Road where that run under, and at times I think that'd get more than that can take, and that do flood that common, what they got at times.
Does it flood more now than it used to do, do you think?
No, I don't think it do, but history repeats itself, don't it? I mean, you get floods. I mean, the village flood, and that will again.
Mm.
I've known at different times flood and flood the houses.
Mm.
Well, that will do again. History repeats itself, doesn't it?
It does.
And
so when that area was all gorse down there, was that deliberate for shooting, or was
it
neglected?
No, it wasn't shooting at all. I don't remember using it much for shooting. That was full of rabbits.
Mm.
People used to have rabbits. I remember nearly every year, there was an old boy, John Sillett, used to look after that common. Because I think people used to keep cows and things on it, you know, and he used to look out of the fence and round it to see things was all right. And I remember boys would set fire to this old gorse, and there'd be great fires there, and of course he'd be up there trying to put this out, but that would burn, but that'd shoot again. Like it is now, I mean, there's a lot of gorse on there now.
Yes.
And, but this, I think they're probably going to do that water course out a bit, aren't they? I should think they're going to clean that up a bit, tidy it up a bit, I think.
You think that's what's needed, do you?
Well, it'll let the water flow much quicker, but the thing is, I've got a great theory about this water, why there is this flooding now. You see, there used to be a ditch around every field, all this area, where the wet, not the light land that way, because, but where these heavy lands are, where these ditches was around every field, they held a lot of water. And I mean, the land drains was into the ditches, and that used to fiddle along in these ditches and then eventually to the main water course. Well, now you see, they've done away with these ditches, and they piped these systems, they piped these ditches, and done the drainage, big drainage systems. Consequently, the water is getting to them point much quicker. Therefore, that's a reach in the water courses, main water courses, much quicker, and that's why there's a build-up, and you see flooding where, I mean, in my job, I used to notice that I used to get flooding where I'd never had flooding in the area, and various things can alter that, and you see, and that is my theory, that the water is getting to one of these points much quicker than it used to.
Can you remember how that area was actually managed? Was it just left to be gorse?
Just left, really. Just left, you see. It wasn't, they used to feed it with cows. There used to be cows on there, I think. Old Stephen Brock at the mill, he used to crop some of it. And the fen down there, Fulcher, he used to feed his cows on the fen. Of course, then they used to sell the reeds at the fen too, on the fen. But I don't think they've got the fen, have they? They haven't got, it doesn't belong to that, no. But on the fen itself, down further down, there was what we call sage grounds, where sage used to grow. And I've been down there with my father. Nearly every house in the village had a little sage ground. They allocated them a little bit of that ground to cut the sage.
And what did you use that for when you cut it?
You used that to clamp your potatoes up. You used to lay that down, and when you take your potatoes up in the garden, put them on the sage, and then cover them up with sage, and then mould them up. Because that's lovely stuff. No frost to go through that sage.
How big a plot were you able to cut?
Well, I don't. Well, quite an area. That's surprising how the old boys knew where their plots were.
Yes.
Along there. And but I've been down there with my father and mould it. Him, when he mould his piece, and then turned it over to dry it, you know, and then bring it home. And
so roughly how big was a piece? Can you remember?
Well, I should think about 10 yards. About 20, like that.
Big piece then.
There was a lot. That was lovely. Sage grounds there.
And everybody in the village
A lot of people didn't used to use it, you see.
Right.
But there was allocated, I suppose, like earlier days before my time of day, that was used more than what it was then. But I have been there with my father when he cut some.
And was that just Garblesham people that was allocated to?
Yes, or? Oh yes. Yes, mm-hmm. It'd been just Garblesham, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Can you just stop this just a moment?
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So was the flooding worse in the summer or the winter when you were younger, or can you
it all depends on the storms, you see. It happens when these storms come, terrific thunderstorms or a period of very heavy rain, then that's when you used to get the flood. But I know the shop down here and the houses just to the left there get completely water run right around down there.
Goodness me.
Yes.
Gosh. Can you remember anything else about digging peat on the fens?
No, I never remember them digging. No, I never did remember digging any.
No.
Whether they did, I don't know. I think I have heard of it, but I've no knowledge of it, actually.
No.
No.
So you don't know how it was done or anything like that?
No.
No. And did people collect firewood from the fen then, do you think?
No, from the fen, no, I don't think it did really.
Right.
I used to let shooting the parish, because that's not the parish council, the trustees of the village. Mm. but not cutting the wood. I used to, as I said, sell the reeds. I used to be cut and used for thatching.
Mm.
Yes.
So they were sold for thatching, as well as people
that's
having
right.
their own plot and being able
to...
The reed, not sedge.
Mm. Yeah.
So the reed was sold for thatching.
Yes,
mm.
but I don't think they do that now. I don't think, no. Because there was another reed bed down what the estate used to use. Every year they used to cut so much for theirs to repair their houses. Yeah.
So were there reeds on the common?
No,
no,
not on the common. No, the other side of the road.
Yes. Mm.
The other side of the road.
And has the river changed at all, do you think, in the way that that's...
Well, of course, they did straighten some of that during the war.
Mm.
The Ouse, you know, down what they call the Flats Meadows, down there. The meadows, there's two meadows that these people have now bought, haven't they?
Mm.
What they call Scarfe's Meadows. The meadows beyond, which are flats, which now belong to Lambert, that river was straightened and cleaned out. And so was the water course from the village right through to the Ewells. That was cleaned out during the war.
Mm. So was any of the wet area drained and ploughed up? Or?
No.
No.
No, I never remember that being cropped.
No.
I just tried to... I had a feeling that some of the common was ploughed up at one time, but I must admit I aren't quite sure about that. But
no.
I had a recollection of it, actually.
Mm.
The far end,
right,
where they belong. I had a feeling that some was that was used for cultivation at one time, part of it.
Mm. Can you remember when you said there were cows on it? Did that increase the amount of wildflowers or anything like that, keeping it well grazed? Can you remember anything about that?
I wouldn't have thought. Really known, really. They just used to feed it, you see, and that's it. What grew on there after, I don't know, because, I mean, in a dry spell, that'd get very dry on there, on that far end of it. And I wouldn't know, really, but it's mostly gorse, you know, that used to grow, because I spread far more now than it used to be, really.
Has it?
Oh, yes. On that far end, it has.
Mm.
Because there used to be a lot this end, but that's gone when they made a football.
So how did they keep the gorse down in the old days then, or did they?
I don't know. Well, they used to burn it. Used to burn.
Mm.
Yeah. Used to burn, but they shoot again.
So how often was the burning done?
Well, it all depends. Boys just set light to it, and quite often, really.
Right, but it was intentionally set alight, was it?
No, I don't think so. Not really, no.
Right. So it was all boys' pranks rather
Yes.
than... Right. And some people said that they remembered birds on that area, like snipe and bitterns and things
like that. Well, snipe, yes, a lot of snipe. There used to be a lot of snipe about there. My relations lived down at the Fen. My father's brother and my cousins, and I used to go down there and there was a lot of snipe.
Mm.
You'd hear them coming over a lot. But I never remember a bitten.
No.
No.
So what sort of habitat did the snipe...
Well, they used to build in the reeds, they used to lay their nests in the reeds, didn't they?
Mm.
So to say, yeah.
Right. Do you remember any other birds?
Well, you used to get a lot of pheasants down there. Mm. More pheasants than partridges. Partridges like open areas. But pheasants, there was pheasants in there, they used to let that for shooting.
Mm.
You know, the fan and the kind. But rabbits. No end of rabbits on that common.
Mm.
Full. Before myxomatosis.
Right.
I don't know if there's any on there now. I wouldn't be surprised, no. Mm.
So has it changed a lot, that common area, do you think? Over
your
lifetime?
Think there's more gorse on that area now than there used to be.
Mm.
When they used to feed it. you know, that area, and when I that was burnt.
What did they feed it?
With cattle, you know.
Yes,
what I mean?
When they put cattle on there, there was more gorse. Cattle kept the gorse
they
down.
They kept it down, I think. Mm. They didn't eat gorse, not cows, but I think there's far more that end now than what there used to be.
Mm. Have you got any thoughts on how it ought to be looked after now, from what you know?
Not really. I'm a country man. I like countryside. I love the countryside. I got to walk across. I have a feeling there's more people getting about there. You see more people walking about down there.
Yes, more people seem to be taking an interest.
Of course, there's a footpath right across it, you see, at a diagonal. Mm. Why? But I would have thought it might pay to tidy that the watercourse itself up a bit. I can't ever remember that being done out properly, not to make one that spread. That spread far and wide, especially when that flood. Mm. You can see it from the road, the Hopton Road, and you look that side, I mean, it spreads far and wide when that dew flood.
Mm.
Yeah, when the water build up. Of course, it won't now, because there ain't the water much now.
Is there anything else that I haven't asked you about that you think would be interesting to say before we finish? Or do you think we've covered everything?
Well, I can't think of much else now. But those scarfs meadows I talk about, they were very rough when they were fed in. I can remember when I worked at Lambert's. They were very rough old meadows. And I think a farmer named Cross had them at that time of day. And but they were very rough. I think I used to cut what they could for hay off of them, really, more than anything else. And but they were very rough old meadows then.
So you think they're better now?
A lot of trees and things growing on them, really. They were very rough.
But they're better now, are they?
Oh, a lot better now, yes. Well, it will depend how you want them, really, don't it, you know. But, I remember... they were, but the flats meadows, Lambert's, they were always fed, and by his cattle, you see, they were kept clear. Yeah.
Right. Well, I think we've covered a lot of material and a lot of interesting things about your own life and your family's life and about the countryside generally.
Yes.
So, thank you very much for that, Rowley. That's very interesting to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Well, that's good.